Father, whatever you want is what we want. It's you, Jesus, that we're thankful that you've included us in your life. We're thankful that you have pursued us. We're thankful for everything that you have done to make it possible for us to know you, for us to be here today. May you be honored and glorified. May you guide our thinking. May you help us to make a choice right now to lay down what we think, to receive what you think, to realize and to admit that we're never right, but you're always right. And we want to come in agreement with you and live in your kingdom of humility. There's nobody like you, Jesus. Talk about 1 Samuel 15, if you want to turn there. But when I was laying there, it was like when Sue was talking in Sunday school. I was just thinking about, she said something like, we need to worship God. Something like, we need to worship God, how we can worship God, or something like that. I don't remember exactly. And it was like, as soon as she said that, it was like, I just wanted to just come and lay down in his presence and just be with him, you know? She talked about walking on the water. So often, can I just talk about walking on the water for a minute? Would that be okay? So often, do you feel like that you're under the water? Like you're in the circumstances, or like they're overwhelming you? Yes? Do you have an idea how to walk on water? Do you have an idea? He said, keep your eyes on Christ. Let me give you two or three things real quick. I was praying before service, and Pastor Glenn walked up, and I think we were talking about, I was telling him about when I was in Florida and something God told me on the last day before I left. It was 5:15 in the afternoon. I'd been there for 9 days. I thought I was just going to go down there and help my dad and my mom, which I did, but I didn't know what it was going to look like, and I kept telling her I told her on the phone a couple times before I went there. I said, I can't do blood and I can't do bodily functions. I said, I just can't do those things. I said, if I see somebody throw up, I throw up. I said, I don't know how I'm going to be able to help you, but I just feel like I'm supposed to come and help you. I just want to be there for you. And God flowed through me in the way he could flow through me, who he created me to be. And on the last day, my mom kept saying while I was there, I can't believe all that you're doing. I can't believe all that's getting done. I can't, it's so awesome. My mom kept saying this. And on the last day at 5:15 in the afternoon, I helped them get a car and traded in their car and took the car back. And then the guy brought me to my house to their house. And when he left, as soon as he left, this weight came off of me, this something, I don't know what it was, this something. And immediately, I'm like, what is that? And God said, your mission's accomplished. And I'm like, I didn't even know I was on a mission, and yet the whole time I felt like I was on a mission, but I don't know how to explain it. It was God. So let me give you a couple ideas about walking on the water, okay? Yes, we need to keep our focus on Christ. We need to keep our focus on Christ. We focus too much on the circumstances. We think about this. Do you ever think like it's too big for you? It's too much for you? Whatever it is. Dealing with the kids, dealing with the mate, dealing with the bills, dealing with the car, dealing with the groceries, dealing with the cleaning. Do you ever think it's too big for you? It is. But is it too big for God? But we think God is about this big, you know, like we can put him in our pocket. And we think the circumstances are that big. And we need to get right perspective. You know, I like that VeggieTales song. It's God is bigger than the boogeyman. Well, he's bigger than circumstances. And he reminds me periodically that in 1977, when I first got in church, surrendered my life to the Lord, and he said to me these words, Harvey, I'm bigger than any need you have. God is bigger than any need you have. A couple ideas about walking on the water. Number one, it's real simple. We need to learn to recognize God's voice. We need to learn to recognize God's voice. Are you ready? I think it's 1 John 2:15-17. Our enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil. Are you listening to me? The world, the flesh, and the devil. And they all have voices. We hear them. The world, you know, we worry about what other people think, the looks they have on their face, what is everybody doing? Sue was talking about being a lemming. Why do we follow the crowd instead of following the Spirit? The flesh, what I want, what I think, what I feel. And the devil, he hates God. He accuses you. He accuses God, and he accuses others. He's the enemy of God. It's the opposite of what we know is right. He doesn't make you feel clean. He doesn't make you feel pure. He doesn't make you feel hopeful. He does all the opposite. And then there's the voice of God. I remember when God, the Holy Spirit, was taking me through an exercise. And almost like within a few minutes, this went on for like a few months, I don't know exactly. But about every few minutes, he would say to me, where did that thought come from? Romans 2:11 says there's no respect of persons with God. If God did something for one person, he can do it for another. Okay? James 4:2, you have not because you ask not. I think I get a lot because I ask for a lot. I'm a greedy guts. Thank you, Lord, for what you did, but I want more. Because there's more of God. And it's not just I want more for me. It's like I want more of God. I need more to go through this life. I don't want to exist. I don't want to even tread water. See, so often we feel we're under the water of circumstances. But I don't just want to get to the surface and grasp some air and go back under. I don't even want to tread water. When I was earning my mile swim badge in Boy Scouts and I had to swim a mile, you had to tread a lot on the water. I don't want to just do that. I want to walk on the water. I want to walk on the circumstances. I want to experience the overcoming life with Jesus. Amen? Yes? Yes? Okay, so please, God, Holy Spirit, would you please do for me what Brother Harvey's talking about and help me to become aware of where my thoughts originate. Did my thought originate with the world, the flesh, the devil, or God? I want to recognize your voice, but in order to recognize God's voice, you have to recognize the other voices. Now, if you spend more time in the Word, it's easier to recognize which is God. Is God taking? Is God using? Is God hurtful? Is God selfish? Then those thoughts didn't come from God, did they? Is God demanding, judging, accusing? Then those thoughts didn't come from God, did they? Okay. So it's real easy to recognize what's not of God. I don't have to necessarily know where it came from, as long as I know it's not God. You understand? I know it's an enemy of God. The world, the flesh, the devil. I dare you. 1 John 2:15-17. It's the enemies of God. Where did my thought originate? Whatever the thought was. You understand? Dear Holy Spirit, would you teach me how to hear your voice? I remember, ba-ba. We were in the other building, and it was right before a service. And I can see I was coming from the hallway, walking into the sanctuary, over, like if the hallway was here, can you see it? And I'm walking in over here, and it was right before the service. And God said to me, do you know what I'm having you teach the people here? And I learned when God asks questions, He's not looking for information. He already knows. So He's drawing your attention to an area. And I said, no, Lord. What do you have me teach the people here? And He said, how to be led of the Spirit. How to be led of the Spirit. There are many sermons you could hear today that would impress you. This is, may not be one. But I want to give you something that you can use that will impact your life for the rest of your life. We're going to 1 Samuel 15 because there's principles there God wants us to get. Because if we don't have those principles, we have a faulty foundation. And we will not continue. We will fall. We will keep stepping in holes. We'll keep having shipwreck. We'll keep living in such a way as to not let the Holy Spirit that live through us and not honor Jesus with our lives. And none of us wants that, do we? Do we? So we need these principles. We need these basic teachings. Well, the first thing, to walk on water, we need to recognize His voice. We need to recognize His voice. Now listen. We need to recognize His voice. It's this simple. Okay? We recognize God's voice. And then we... What was the second thing I told you this morning? Remember? God, you just had it. And then for some reason, my mind just went somewhere. Recognize His voice. And then, focus hanging out with Him. All I want to do is just live with Jesus. not all I want to do is watch a movie. All I want to do is go on vacation. All I want to do is pay a bill. All I want to do is do my job. All I want to do is whatever. And I want God to come bless it. I just want to be with you, Jesus. And he says to me, then let's go do tubs. Okay. If that's what you want to do, I can't improve on that, can I? Father, we want to give you everything you want. Father, what do you want? And he cares about me so much. It's always what's best for me. It may not be what I want. Right before I left, all these things happened that were not good. I was booked ahead 3 weeks. For three guys, because I had three guys. One of my guys on Monday before I left on Wednesday, before he came to work, he broke his arm. Okay, I've got enough work for three guys. What I'm going to do is scramble and move the guys' work from the one guy to the two guys. I'll move it around. It'll work. So then Monday, my second guy, he went to work and he did a tub. And then he went to do the second tub and he decided, I don't want to do tubs anymore. I quit. But he didn't tell me. He told the customer, I don't have what I need. I'm going to go get what I need and I'll be back. 2 hours later, the lady calls me and says, Harvey, the guy left, and she told me that story and she said, do you know where he is? I'm like, no, I didn't know. You know? I tell my guys, communication is the key. I want the customer to know. You always call them before you go. And I want to know where you are as if I'm there. I want to know what's going on. I want to be there, but I can't be everywhere. So call me. Communication is key. You know, husbands, talk to your wives. Wives, talk to your husbands. Communication is key. So I tried calling my guy. I tried texting my guy. Maybe it was an hour after he was gone. She called me 2 hours later, Harvey, and I had so many phone calls coming at me. I forgot about them after I did what I was supposed to do. But I forgot to call the lady back because I was waiting to hear back from him. I had nothing to say. She called me 2 hours after he was gone. Harvey, the guy's gone. Is he coming back? I just want to know. And I'm going, I'm trying to contact him, but I haven't. So I called my other guys and said, would y'all contact him? Maybe he'll talk to you. You know, maybe something's wrong with my phone. I'm thinking, trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. 6 hours before we contacted him, or before he contacted us. And the way it happened was the guy that had worked for me, who just went and got a job at a trucking company a few months ago, his name's Mark. He's the one who works in my fish tank. So he came over at my house about 5:30, and I was telling him what happened. And I said, maybe he got in a car accident. I don't know. I mean, he's driving my truck. Maybe he totaled my truck. One of my guys, matter of fact, Dave, totaled my truck, one of my trucks one time. I thought, maybe he got in a car accident. I don't know. And I told the customer, I said, I'm really sorry. As soon as I find out, I said, I guess he won't be coming back today. I have no idea. I don't know what to do. Please, just give me a little time and let me work it out. I don't know what to do. I'm praying for the guy. Down in my spirit, I kept feeling like God was telling me he was irresponsible, he quit, something. But I didn't want to believe that because if it was the devil, I don't want to believe the accusing. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I try to give him the benefit of the doubt. Meanwhile, my phone's ringing that day and the next day. Before I left, my phone was ringing so much I couldn't even get off the phone for hours. I went from one call to the next without hanging up. I couldn't even get off the phone. I can't think. I'm trying to pray. I can't even pray because I can't get a breath. You know what I mean? How do we walk on the water? in life. Life coming at you like this. Finally, I tell my fish guy, Mark, hey, this is what happened. And Mark, having the character that he does, he texted him and thought, let's see if I can help Harvey. So he texts the guy and says, hey, how you doing? What's going on? And the guy said, I quit today. And he said, did you tell Harvey? And he goes, nope. Oh, in text, you know. He goes, nope. He said, well, the right thing, and he begins to tell him what the right thing, the character thing to do, is to contact me. So the guy texts me. I can't take it anymore. I'm not doing tubs anymore. If you can figure it out, the problem's you. And I go, thank you. You know, I'm like, whatever that means, you know. It's like, whatever. So I go, Lord, how do I walk on the water? He says, learn to hear my voice. Do you know what God's voice is? Colossians 3:15a ought to be something that comes to you all day long. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. When you don't have peace, it ain't God. You're not in the Spirit at that time. You might be afflicted or whatever the word is, oppressed by a spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. Because when it's God, you're going to be in peace. Well, sometimes I lose His peace because I get overwhelmed as the waves of life come against me. Maybe y'all don't have this, but I just felt like I was supposed to talk to you about it. As I'm laying there, He's just reminding me and telling me for you to share it. It's like I just felt like I'm supposed to share it. So number one, we got to recognize His voice. What's the voice that we're listening to? What's the voice that's trying to lead us? What's the voice that's talking to us? Where did it come from? Is it God or the enemy of God? One of the enemies. Okay? Are you with me? Number two, focus. I just want to be in your presence. And when you're hanging out with Him, and you're just focused, and He says, like, go do tubs. It may not be what you want to do. Okay, I normally live on the phone. I do 200 or 300 phone calls a day. That's why sometimes when you, different people of you call me, I'm like, I would love to talk to you. I don't know if I say that. I probably go, I don't have time right now. Bye. Okay, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. But I'm usually on the other line. I'm still trying to write down stuff from the last call while this one's talking. I'm telling you, I don't know why He has me do all this. I'm like, why don't you? This is beyond me. And He goes, good, then you're going to need me to do it, aren't you? Because every time I think I can handle it, He gives me more. And He says, you can't do it without me, Harv, because I don't want you to try to live life without me. It's not about performance. It's about relationship, and that means you including me in everything. He said, what I found myself praying for people in Florida was, Father, please don't help this person. Please pick them up and carry them next to your heart. See, we don't need God to come along and help us a little bit. We don't need a Band-Aid God or a spare tire God. What we need is we need a daddy to take care of us, carry us. Recognize the voice. Focus on hanging out with Him. Practice His presence. Three words. Practice His presence. You're not always going to feel Him. But did He not say, I will never leave you nor forsake you? Did He mean only when you can feel Him He's there? I will never leave you nor forsake me as long as you can feel me. For we walk by faith, not by sight, not by feeling. You got it? 2 Corinthians 5. About verse 7 or something. We walk by faith, not by sight. Real simple. We want to live in His peace. What makes for peace? I'm going through all this. I keep drawing back and I say, okay, are you ready? There's two kingdoms. Here's a principle. There's two kingdoms. Kingdom of pride, kingdom of humility. Kingdom of pride, I can do this. I'll be strong for God. I'll live for God. I know what to do. Kingdom of pride. Have you ever lived there? Does that please God? Does that include God? Can God bless that? So here's where He has brought me that helps me so much. I can't do this, God. He's going, good. Do you want me to do it for you? I'm like, please. And He's like, and He shows up. I can't do this. I can't do my homework. I don't know what to do. You know what I told Him yesterday? I said, God, everything You've been having me do, I have nothing to give to the people tomorrow. So I plan on not doing anything. I don't plan on talking. I'm just going to sit. I don't even want to stand up. When they say, it's your turn, I'm going to say, somebody else must have it because I have nothing. And within about a minute or two, He says, you remember 1 Samuel 15? I go, yeah. He said, remember all those notes I gave you and had you write them in? I go, yeah. He said, you've got something. That's what we're going to talk about. And I'm like, I don't know how to do it. I'm wore out. I'm tired. I'm run down. You had me. I have to go behind my guys. And I can't. Blank. But you can. And you do all things well. I can't. Will you do it for me? I can't. I need you. It's not the kingdom I used to live in. I was a make it happen person. I could make it happen. Whatever it was, I could make it happen. Of course, I hurt people. I was mean. I used people. I wasn't full of peace. I was full of stress. But I made it happen. Is that how you want to live? You want to walk on the water? Recognize His voice. Dear Holy Spirit, where did this thought come from? Would you please teach me how to recognize the voice that's right now talking to me? And when it's not God, I don't want nothing to do with you. James 4, 7 and 8. Ephesians 4, 27 says, neither give place to the devil. John 14, 30, Jesus said, the devil hath nothing in me. He doesn't have a foothold in me. Don't give him a foothold. Let's talk about the footholds. We're in 1 Samuel 15. By the way, anybody have something they want to say? Yes, sir? Hang on a second. Hang on a second. Hang on a second, please. Is this thing live? It's live. Thank you. It's live. Okay.
By what Pastor Ivory was saying, I was being convicted by the Holy Spirit because last night I was thinking on, you know, the way I was feeling oppressed, I was feeling down, didn't feel like I had God there to help me. And so what I...
Come here, then you can look back.
All right. I'm sitting right here.
That's right.
All right. So I cried out to God.
Where did you get this idea? Go ahead.
I said, I need you now. Now, that was the thing, though. I said, I need you now. But what He said back to me was, you need me all the time. And that was a slap to the face, but a good one. So.
Anybody else have something to say so far?
Yeah, I was just like a comment on what Pastor Harvey was saying about hearing his voice. Me personally, when I hear God's voice, it's peace. I get this peace. It's not, I don't have the fear. There's no doubt. There's no confusion. And that's what I want to say.
That's awesome. Anybody else have anything to say so far? By the way, I'm glad that you get permission before you come up.
Thank you.
No, really. Because that illustrates... That illustrates something we're getting ready to talk about. Go ahead.
Well, it's not really about the message. It's more about, I just wanted to say this. God is good all the time, not just some of the time. Every second, every minute, because we wouldn't be here if it weren't for him.
Amen. Anybody else? All right. 1 Samuel 15. Some principles we're supposed to learn. God said, that's not where I want to go. We've already read verse 1 where Samuel said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Verse 2, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, the people of God, how he laid wait for him in the way he conspired against him when he came up from Egypt. Now, or came out of bondage. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. But notice, wow, I'm sorry, I just got to say this. Verse 3, God is talking to people through another people, through a person, which is singular for people. God is talking to people. He's talking to a man that God had set up as king, but he was talking to him through a person. We want God just to talk to us, but God has authorities for a reason, and he speaks to us through them. And we say, well, I don't like what they're saying. I'm just following God. You're not following God if you're not under authority, if you're not willing to be under authority. Does that make sense? Anybody want to comment? Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul the king gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. The last time when I was here, we talked about some things that we needed to learn from this chapter. If you'll remember, we talked about Numbers 23:20. You are God, and I am not. God is in charge. He has the final say. Okay? I can't tell you how big that is. God has the final say. He wants to be, Luke 6:46, what Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? God is the authority. He puts authorities in our life. When we rebel against authority, I don't care what you have to say. We are in rebellion against God. you will not have peace. You are not led by the Holy Spirit. You are following an antichrist spirit of rebellion. I don't care what you have to say. I'm not going to do what you say. We may not say those words. Sometimes we do. But we may not say those words, but that's what we, if we were being honest, we would say them. You follow what I'm saying? God positions authority. Authority is there for our protection, for our guidance. Sometimes we can't hear. The more that we can hear God, the more we submit to God, the less authorities He puts in our life. Do you understand? And then He begins to put us in a place of authority. But if we wonder why we're where we're at and we're still self-righteous and blaming everybody else, we're missing it. Who is our authority? Not who do I like that is my authority. Who has God put over me? Okay? You are God and I am not. God is in charge. He has the final say. Number two, things we're going to learn from this chapter. Numbers 32:23. If we will not obey, if we will not do so, then we have sinned against the Lord. We may think we're straightening somebody else out, telling somebody else off, but we've sinned against the Lord. God puts people in our life. When we don't want to hear it, it's probably exactly what we need to hear. Because it's coming against something in us that we need to hear. If you will not do so, then you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. It will not be hidden. We will be made to answer for it. We gave verses on that. Another thing to learn from this chapter. God protects His own. The devil can't touch us without the permission of God. He's on a leash. 1 Chronicles 16:22, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. 2 Kings 2:23-24 is an example of this. And as he, which is Elisha, went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city, and they mocked him, and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back, and he looked on them, and he cursed them in the name of the Lord. That doesn't mean he cursed at them. He cursed them in the name of the Lord, and there came forth two she-bears out of the wood, and tear or killed 42 children of them. Now I know that this society would say that's child abuse, but God was, you don't touch His anointed, you do His prophets no harm. You are in that category. When you belong to God, you are protected. We're going to find that in the next passage. That passage, if you want to know, is 2 Kings 2:23-24. The next one is Job 1:9-10. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught or nothing? Hast not thou, in other words, have not you, God, made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. He's like, God, you're all around him. I can't get to him. Wouldn't you like that to be for you? I want you to realize something. We make choices that allow areas where the devil can penetrate into our life. God's desire is to protect us. God's desire is to shield us. He is my shield. He is my defense city. He is my bulwark. He is my strong tower. He is my protection. He is my Savior. That's why we're talking about these principles, because there's things in our lives that if we do not have them, we wonder, why is all this happening to me? Because we are allowing the devil entrance into our lives. God can't bless sin in any area that we are making these choices. God, I need you to open my eyes. I need you to show me. Anybody have anything they want to say? Okay. That was Job 1, 9 and 10. Psalm 105, 14 to 15. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved, he rebuked, he straightened out kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. See, people want to claim that and say, oh, that's just me. I'm blessed and I'm protected. And I'm like, well, then why is this stuff happening in your life, Mr. Deceived? Because we have some things missing. We have some pieces of armor that are missing, where we actually give permission or entrance or license unto the devil into our lives. Okay? God wants to protect us, and he has the devil on a leash. Okay? The devil can only go so far. Nothing can happen in our lives unless it passes God's desk for approval first. Okay? Hebrews 1:9. Here's something that helps you to understand why. He's talking about Jesus, and he says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity or sin. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Why? Because he loved righteousness, loved what was right, and hated what was wrong. Okay? God protects his own. The devil can't touch. Ecclesiastes, a fourth thing we're going to learn. I'm sorry. Let me hit the thing first. It shall be well with them that fear God, but not with the wicked. Are you ready? Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 11 through 13. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. In other words, because judgment doesn't happen quickly. Are you listening? Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Have you ever noticed it's not a battle to do evil? It's a battle to do right. I don't think I'm supposed to move from there for a minute. I never thought of it that way. Thank you, Lord. That was kind of pretty cool. It is not a battle. You don't have to battle to do evil. Do you ever have to work hard to be selfish? Do you ever have to work hard to want to judge or condemn or accuse other people when they do something to you? Or does it come easy? Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore our hearts are fully set in us to do evil. When I was reading this morning, one of the thoughts I had was this. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. The holy, holy, perfect, righteous, beautiful Spirit of God lives within us. He did not live within people in the Old Testament. Before Jesus came, and even when Jesus was here, the Holy Spirit did not live inside of people. That means most of this planet time, which was not millions of years, by the way, but thousands. But anyway, most of this planet time, people have not had God living inside of them. But we do. Since Jesus came, made it possible, now when we accept Christ, His Spirit comes to live inside of us. We are empowered. We are enabled to do things that people couldn't do before. They had to make themselves do to stay right with God. We need to just be thankful for the Holy Spirit. We need to talk to Him and thank Him. And we need to realize that we resist Him. We quench Him like pouring water on a fire. We dampen His enthusiasm inside of us. We disobey Him. We resist Him. The whole point in all of this, do you remember what David, King David, did? What was the one good thing that King David did? Do you remember? He slew a big guy, didn't he? An enemy of God, Goliath. Dropped him like a bad habit. Okay? What were some of the bad things David did? Do you remember? Yes, sir? It was a female over there. And she said, Bathsheba. Okay? So, in other words, he committed adultery with another man's wife named Bathsheba. And then, because she was pregnant and he wanted to hide it, he had the husband killed. Her husband's name was Uriah. Thank you. And that male voice. What else bad things David did? You remember? He numbered the people. What happened because he numbered the people? Do you remember? 70,000 people died because he simply numbered the people. We don't think that's a big deal. Guess what? He is God. We're not. He thought it was a big deal. He said, because you did that, he said, punishment's coming. He said, what do you want me to do? This or this or this? And David said, I'm not smart enough to choose. You're God and you're merciful. I'll leave it up to you. And God had 70,000 people die because of one man's choice, because he was the leader. I don't want to follow that leader. I'm going to hear from God. You want to be that responsible? Then let God position you. Don't position yourself. Be in the position God called you and realize the consequences of what is on a leader. They may not do everything the way you think. They may not say things the way you think and whatever. But they're responsible. They're going to give an account. Not just for their life like you, but for your life also. And your family and everybody around you. Do you understand? It's important. Cool. Holy Spirit living inside of us. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Why did I bring this up about David? I felt like God wanted me to, because God said about David that he said about no other man on the planet or in time. He said, David is a man after my own heart. Do you know why? Do you have any idea why? Isn't this the same guy that committed adultery? Isn't this the same guy that didn't, the reason he committed adultery? Because he wasn't where he was supposed to be. And then he committed adultery. And then he tried to hide his sin. And he had the lady's husband killed because he was in a position to do so. And then he numbered the people and caused all these people and all kinds of stuff. But God called him a man after his own heart. You know why? Because David was a very good repenter. He was a good sinner. In other words, he was good at sinning. But he was even better at repenting. If you don't find it a struggle to do wrong, and if you think that you do good, then ask the people around you if you can hear it. I challenge you, don't ask him if you don't want to hear it. Do I do wrong? Do I sin? Do I hurt people? Am I selfish? Do I take? Am I controlling? Am I moody? All those questions. Don't ask them if you don't want the answer. But if that's where you're at, if it's easy for you to do wrong, lose your temper, whatever it is, then be a good repenter. Admit to God, God, this is what's in me, but I don't want it in me. I don't want to allow the devil to have a place in me, a foothold. I want to be a good repenter. Oh, God, I've sinned against you. Hate sin. Love righteousness. Hate evil. Love what's right. Ecclesiastes 8, 11 through 13. We've read 11 about 14 times now. Let's see if we can read 12 and 13. It says, though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged. You ever wonder why people that are evil can live long lives? Have you ever wondered that? Because 2 Peter 3:9 says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Over in Psalms, he says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. As soon as they die, they're going to hell. That means eternal separation from the purpose of God and the presence of God. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. That is a holy respect. I told my kids, I don't want you to be afraid of me. I just want you to be afraid of doing wrong and me finding out. I don't want you to fear me, though they will, because I was the executor of wrath, okay? Verse 13, but it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong the wicked, he shall not prolong his days, which are as a shadow. Why? Because he feareth not before God. I challenge you, when you need a challenge, something to study, study the fear of the Lord. You will find about the fear of the Lord 15 times, if I remember correctly, in the book of Proverbs alone. And it talks about what the fear of the Lord is. Okay? It's the beginning of knowledge. It's to hate evil. And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. There's 15, at least 15 verses. But study the fear of the Lord. What he's talking about is the most repeated principle in the Bible. Do you know what it is? The most repeated principle in the Bible is we reap what we sow. If you do good, you're going to get the consequences of that. If you do evil, you're going to get the consequences of that. But realize this. God is so good that we always reap to the negative when we do bad. We always reap less than we deserve. And because he's so good, when we do good, we always reap to the positive more than we deserve. Have you ever said, I don't know why he's so good to me? You ever said that? Anybody in this room ever? I've heard a number of you say that. Why is he so good to me? Because he's so good. Our little brother said that. He's so good. All the time. Just he's so good. That's right. He's so good. Just try and talk like a little boy. Okay? I do know it. I don't know how to talk like this. Okay, I just don't know how to do it. Okay? I did my best. I'm sorry. Okay. Let's move on. Next principle, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We're talking about things to learn out of this chapter. If you would, please turn to 1 Corinthians 6, verses 8 through 11. It says, "Nay, or no, you do wrong and defraud or deprive or keep back, and that from your brethren. Know ye not," he says, "don't you know, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus. But ye are sanctified. You are set apart unto a holy God for a holy purpose. But you are justified. You are declared righteous and guiltless in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Galatians 5, 16 to 21. How do we walk in the water? We're talking about, and some principles of how to get there. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." If you don't want to do what's wrong, walk in the Spirit. "For the flesh lusteth, has strong desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Galatians 5, 16 to 21. "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, are made clearly known, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness," which means loose living, "without restraint, without rules, without accountability, idolatry," putting anything above God, including self, "witchcraft," manipulation, "hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Folks, there's so many people around us that are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. We need to love them, not judge them, not straighten them out. We need to love them. We need to present the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. That's what they need, is Jesus on the cross for them. We need to love them. But realize, I went to a funeral and they talked about this drunk, this person that I had heard about for 25 years or whatever it was. And everything I heard sounded nothing like God. But somehow, the whole funeral, they somehow put them in heaven in their own minds. And it was all a deception. It was like I was sitting there thinking, I don't remember when I've been to a funeral so void of God and the truth. Don't be deceived. Folks, people around you, they're going to spend eternity somewhere. We need to love them to Jesus. We need to... They need the Jesus that's in us to be released. God, we need to lose our lives so we can let Him live His life through us. Don't try to live for God. That's religion. Let God live His life through you, but that's going to happen when you lose your life. Do you like everything about your life? How about, is there a lot in your life you don't like? Well, then, why don't you give it up and get His life? Quit trying to live your life. Quit trying to please yourself. Quit trying to have your hands on the steering wheel and do what you want. And, well, I think and I feel and I believe and I thought you didn't like your life. Lose it. So you can find His. Matthew 10:39. Last thing. The thing to learn in this chapter. All stand before God and are judged by the written Word of God. Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. Is the Bible a library of 66 books, 39 old, 27 new? Is it? And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Because there's two kinds of judgment. There's a judgment. Actually, there's several judgments. There's a number of judgments. But one of them is for the lost, called the Great White Throne Judgment. You find that in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verses 10 through 15. And then there is the judgment of Christ. And you'll find that in 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 10. The unsaved will not stand in the judgment seat of Christ. They're going to stand in the Great White Throne Judgment. And the people that are saved are not going to stand in the Great White Throne Judgment. They're going to stand in the judgment seat of Christ. And it's all because of Jesus. Step into heaven, let's say, you're going to stand before God, and the angel says, got Jesus? Nope. Over there. Got Jesus? Good. Over there. But we're all going to stand before God. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. We're going to give an account. Things we need to learn here. Walking on the water. Real simple. Let's just talk about that real quick again. Where did this voice, where did this thought come from that I'm having right now? Dear Holy Spirit, teach me how to recognize the voice of God and the voice of the enemies. Because there's enemies. Okay? World, flesh, devil. Okay? God, help me to recognize that voice. Where did that thought come from? Where did that thought originate? Is it about pleasing me or pleasing God? Number two, realize His presence. Focus on being with Him. I just want to be with you. I just like seeing that smile. I just want to sense your presence. And when I can't sense it, realize He's right here because the Word says so, whether I feel it or not. Practice His presence. We so often have lived as if He's not real. And then we come back to God and go, uh-oh. Uh-oh. I shouldn't have done that. Uh-oh. I shouldn't have said that. Uh-oh. I hope that's not on the video in heaven. But when you live in His presence, as soon as you have the uh-oh, you bring it under the blood of Jesus. I don't want that. That's not me. That's an invasive thought. Because you get to choose who's going to live through you. Is it rebellion or obedience? Is it others-minded or selfishness? Is it light or is it dark? Yes, sir?
Okay, so, you know, we all got to stand in front of the judgment seat, whether it be the Great White Throne or the judgment seat of Christ, as Harvey was speaking about. Now, that brought to my attention, you know, either way it goes, we got to take accountability. So we're going to have to stand there for all the good and bad we've done, whether we're sitting in front of the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne. It doesn't matter. So fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. And that's it.
Amen. Rick, did you have something you wanted to say? So often, God will slow you down. Have you ever given your kids a timeout? Why do you give them a timeout? It's because you're mean? Right? Right? It's because we're mean, right? So we want to give them a timeout? We don't want to let them go out with their friends because we're mean, right? No. Maybe. So why do we give them a timeout, really? What's a timeout about? Do you know? Make them
think about what they did.
Make them think about what they did. So God does that with us. He brings us to a place where He wants us to be still. And if we won't, sometimes He just, He makes it, you know, like you're laying in the hospital bed and you're looking up and you're going, "Why me, Lord?" And He said, "I finally got your attention." He said, "I tried to talk to you, but you wouldn't listen, so I let you have an accident. It slowed you down." "Well, I'm too busy, God." He says, "I can fix that." There was a guy that I tried witnessing to, when we were in Texas. And he said, "I don't have time, preacher. I got too much. I'm working too many hours." So God had them lay him off. Then I saw him sitting on somebody's yard, you know, the, whatever you call that, the bank, the whatever you call it, the hill, you know, at the end of a street. And I'm driving down, you know, God had me drive down the street. I'm driving down the street, and there he is sitting there. I put up, he had this face, dude. It wasn't one of joy. And I said, "How you doing?" See, his mom had come to know the Lord. His sister had come to know the Lord, and maybe his wife had come to know the Lord. Anyway, a couple of the kids had come to know the Lord. But he was too busy. So I pulled up next to him and said, "Hey, how you doing?" "Not good." "What?" He had a job with the city. "I got laid off." And you couldn't get a job there. I mean, it was just, it was crazy. You either worked a whole bunch of hours or you didn't work at all. There was like no middle ground. You know, or you worked so few hours it didn't pay for anything, you know. And he was just working overtime all the time, making money, but he didn't have time for God. And now all of a sudden, he didn't have a job. And I said, "Well, if you would like to, you know, I prayed for him. I felt compassion. I prayed for him." I said, "If you would like to talk, let me know." So he said, "I'd like to talk, preacher. I'd like to get together." He ended up getting saved. All we had to do was have a little time to talk. Had to get his attention. He got saved. It was like real easy. Boom, he got saved. God knows how to remove the distractions. I'm too busy. Uh-oh. I hate those words. You won't be. Anybody else? My friend, don't ever take this personal like I'm talking. I mean, please. I mean, take it personal if God wants you to take it personal, but don't take it personal like I did it. I didn't do it. I told him yesterday, "I don't have anything to bring." And he said, "Yeah, you do. Jesus, we love you. I'm so glad that you loved us first, and you just keep loving us no matter what. You keep pursuing us. Thank you for giving us a place where we could come together with people that love you, that want you, like-minded, like-hungered, like-hearted, like-spirited. Thank you, Jesus. We commit our lives into your hands. Lord, please don't let us alone. Please keep drawing us closer to you. Thank you that you're purposed, committed to doing that. I love you, Jesus. Nobody like you. I'm asking for your protection and your blessing on each one, each family represented here. Protect them. Make these words alive in us. Your word. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Amen. If you, before you leave, like I always say, let's pretend we love somebody in here, you know, and hug a few people. And let's do that. If you need to pray, we've got an altar up here. If you need talk or you need prayer, come up. We'll pray with you. Does anybody else have anything to say? You know, you can't help it. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Left my mind. Anyways, the only verse I want to share with you guys is that the wise man's eyes are in his head. That's the Ecclesiastes. Brought that up. You know, a way to see in a way the voice of God or the voice of the flesh, the world, or the devil. Look at it in your head, not only thinking about where is it coming from, but see it, where it's coming from. So use the wise eyes, not the eyes of the sight. Yeah, that's it.
Amen.